Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, welcome everybody. Chapter 64. Well, we're in the kind of the final few prophecies. This last prophecy was a form of prayer, where we were asking Hashem, mentioning that He was our Father, and we were aware that we're not perfect, but that He would redeem us, and we look towards Him. Also, there was in the very beginning of our history, Hashem was actively involved in a direct way. He made miracles happen. He took us out of Egypt, and He brought the plagues, and He gave the Torah, and that was direct intervention. That was a very much a one-time or initial type of thing, but there's the idea that when redemption comes, there also will be great miracles that will take place. And we live in a world where people have confusion, and there's a lack of clarity, and so sometimes we wish that just miracles would happen, and the whole world would learn about Hashem, and that would be it. So here there's kind of a mention of that. So he mentions, Kekodach Esh Hamasim, just like a fire burns, and it mentions like the power of there's the idea when Har Sinai came that there was like lightning bolts, fire, and just like water, fire burns, and it even causes water to burn. Lodiya Shemecha. We want the world to know about your name. We really would love a few miracles, like to teach the world. The people should realize that there is a Hashem, and that wickedness goes punished, and that there's a proper way to act and something to live for. So we ask kind of for those miracles, so to speak. You should make yourself known, your name, with Terecha, Tiranes, Mefinecha, Goyim, Yirogozu. And cause the nations, people should be scared. But Soska no rose, because we remember when you did mighty things. Lo Nakav, we never read you the script. We never told God what to do. We never told Him to come to the mountain and shake up the whole world. And we never hoped for that. When He did that, there was like the earth moved. Harim Nozlu. In the Psalms we mention that the whole nature sways and moves, and all types of things happen. We are aware that there is a future existence that we really don't know exactly what it will be. We don't know what those miracles will look like. None of us and nobody's ever heard it, nobody's ever seen it. And there's no other force, there's no other God that's ever performed miracles except for you. And if you ever look into all religions, many of them claim to have miracles. It's always seen by one or two people, by the disciple and the master and the... We're the only religion that where Hashem does things publicly. Not someone has a dream and he told someone, and the giving of the Torah was done in front of millions of people. The Har Sinai. We don't claim that only one person saw it. The splitting of the sea. I mean, the all of Egypt was there, and our entire nation walked through the. It wasn't Unfortunately, we live in society which likes to compare religions. Oh, they're all the same. But, if one of them's true, then the other ones aren't. And since the other ones are phony, you kind of put them all in the same league. But they don't belong there. Comparative religions means let's compare all the man-made, hocus-pocus, silly religions together with Hashem. And that's wrong. You can't compare Hashem to any of these other types of things, other phony types of things. But those miracles that Hashem has done, Yaseh lemechakalo, he will do for those that have hope in him. That's this word. We say this where we the same word is used for the Mashiach, chakalo, like we hope for him. We know that when Hashem is ready, when history is ready, when the time will come, then Hashem's presence will be known. And so, meanwhile, we wait for it. We look forward to it. It's not fun living in a time of darkness. It's not fun living in a time of evil. But we have faith that that's part of our test. That's part of the challenge of life. There are things that happen we don't understand. But we kind of wait for it. We wait for a time when there'll be clarity. Pagata es sos aseit tzedek b'derchecha. We remember that we had sinned against you, and you had punished the sinners, and even the good, there were good people that had tried, that had gone in your ways, that they also, we live through times where the people write books why bad things happen to good people. In other words, that we do live in times when we see that there's a lot of suffering out there. There are a lot of good people, a lot of good things, people that suffer. That's a question we have. We don't understand that. Why does that happen? Yisku hein v'ata ketzavta. Now we ask you v'nefta behem ola v'nivasha. We kind of we sinned and now we wait to be saved. Verse 5. And he katame. Kulanu. Now, why? What happened? In other words, we look at our history where we were punished and we were sent into exile and we faced all kinds of pogroms and banishments and we were like impure. We were like something that was no good. Ukebegedi, like a torn out dirty clothing. Kosid kusenu, and even our righteousness. You know, with all of these years, we've always had good people that have prayed to Hashem and been loyal to Hashem. But our deeds were not strong enough to prevent Hashem from getting angry with us. The Navu Ka'ola, we were like a leaf. You know, nothing gets tossed around like an old leaf, you know, when it falls off the tree. That's the way the Jewish people felt. We're like this leaf that gets blown off the tree. We're like, since we left the land of Israel, we're like a leaf that just got, you know, we're blown off our tree of life and we're blown away and we're disintegrating. Va'avoneinu karuach yishanu, and we were carried by our sins. Verse 6, v'ein karu b'shemecha, nobody calls out to you. We're missing in our faith. Mis'or lehaksipach, nobody wakes us up to strengthen ourselves. Ki starta p'necha mimenu, because you hid your face from us. Now this word, histarta, is the name of the hero of today. Today is Shushan Purim, and the hero is Esther. And her real name was Hadassah. But the name that the Megillah calls her is Esther, which means hidden. Because the time itself was very hidden, that such a wonderful person should be taken to the palace of such a wicked king, the kind of person that murdered his wife and others and murdered whole nations of people and was drunk. Imagine throwing a 180-day party, you know, and the kind of stuff they did at the party. You know, that was a time where Hashem's face was hidden from us. He started with Nechon Manu. You've hidden your face from us. U'bitimogenu b'yad avonenu. And we're, because of our sins, we're like wandering. So this really speaks to us because it's the experience of exile. Like, it's nice to be living in the land of Israel where Hashem is blessing the Jewish people and everything is good and each person's at their fig tree and each person has their, you know, their farm and everything is growing and the nations respect us and they come to learn about the ways of Hashem. But we live in a history where we've sinned and we no longer, people aren't calling out in Hashem's name and the Jewish people have seemingly been discarded because of our sins. So what do we want? What do we pray for? So this is in verse 7. Va'ata Hashem Avinu. And now you, God, our father, dad. Ata anachnu achomer. You know what? It's true. We haven't always behaved in the way we would like to. In other words, we can't always say we've done the right things. But you know what? And you'll see a lot of this in the High Holiday prayers. The same words are in a lot of the prayers. You know what? We're clay in your hands. You know, you want us to, we're not behaving the way we should be, so we're putty. We're willing to mold ourselves to be the right kind of people. That's the way. Anachnu hachomer, v'ata yotreinu. We are the we're the clay. We're the you know, just if we haven't been the way we should be, so you know what? Why don't you just help us? You know, turn out right. Help us rethink our thought path, because you created us. Umaisa yedecha kulanu, and we're your handiwork. Verse 8. Atiksef Hashem ad meyo. Don't be too upset. Calm down. Meaning that, you know, we haven't behaved the way we should be. And so we're aware that there needs to be an anger when we don't behave the way we should, but we ask Hashem not to be too angry. You know, there's a quality of mercy. Al-tiksav Hashem ad ma'od. Not too much. I don't know what's enough, but don't be too angry. Al-la'ad tisker avon. Maybe you should just forget our sins and let bygones be bygones. You know, just forget it. You know, don't remember it. Let's not talk about that. Habetna amcha kulanu. Remember us. Look at us, please. All of us. You know, each and every one of us as your people. It's a plea. Some of this is in what we call the tachna, the supplications. And we put our head down, which in ancient times people would like fall on their face and prostrate themselves. But there's the idea that we're beseeching Hashem, and this is our prayer, that we're aware that we're not perfect. We never approach Hashem and make demands. We never say, you know, we're aware that, you know, we haven't lived up to the way we could be, and we've sinned. And we take responsibility for all of us. We're all one family, and unfortunately, you know, we have... each and every one of us, has, you know, maybe could do better, and as a family of the Jewish people, we certainly could do better. And so we plead to Hashem, you know, let's not think about our sins, let's forget those. Don't be too angry. Verse 9. Yirei kodshech ha'midbar. Your holy cities right now are a desert. Sion midbar ha'is Yerushalayim shmama. Yerushalayim is shmama, is desolate. And we're fortunate to live in a time where it's being rebuilt. But Beis Kodshenu, your holy house, V'tifartenu, your glory, Asher Halucha Avosenu, and our forefathers would praise you in that place. You know what's in that place right now? There's a mosque there, but Ha'ilu Shreifas, it was burnt down. V'kol Machmadenu Ha'ilu Charva, and everything is in ruins. Verse 11, Ha'ela Tisapek Hashem. Hashem, are you going to restrain yourself? When is the time for you to rebuild and to bring redemption to your children? Hal Ela Tisapik Hashem, Teksha, will you be quiet? Usanenu Admaol, we've been afflicted so much. And so this is the plea. The prayer that we pray to Hashem. You know, in other words, we're aware that we've sinned, we've been punished. But we're like, let us be like putty in your hands. If we need to be rebuilt, rebuild us. You know, if we need to be reboot, you know, redo it again. Your holy cities are in ruins. So this is our prayer to Hashem. Now we're going to get to Hashem's answer, and that's in the chapter 65, which we begin. Nidrashti lelo shalu. Hashem says, it's really interesting because it's like a back and forth discussion. You know, it's kind of, this is our what we have to say. Now, what do you, Hashem, have to say? And Hashem said, you know what? I made myself available when you weren't asking. In other words, you weren't coming to my house of prayer saying, we seek you out, we're looking for you. Hashem says, I'm seeking you out, I'm looking for you. Nimseisi lo bakshuni, I've been there and nobody's looking for me. Amarti hineni. Hashem says, I'm here, I'm waiting. You know, the Gemara says that if there's a synagogue where there's no minyan, that Hashem is like, you know, like, I'm here, where are you? You know, nobody comes to seek Hashem. So Hashem says, like you wonder why, you know, you've been punished for your sins, but I'm here, I'm looking for you, and nobody's there. Hineni, Hashem says, I'm waiting. El goy lo kor b'shmi, and I call out to my nation, and nobody's calling to me. Nobody's asking about me. Now, Hashem says he reaches out to us. Parashti yadi. Hashem gives us a hand. His hand is, you know, somebody, let's say, is in the water, and they can't stay afloat much longer, and somebody reaches out their hand to pull them out. Hashem says, I'm giving you my hand, and nobody takes it. Parashti yadi kol hayom. All day long, Hashem says, I'm giving you my hand. I'm waiting. I'm there. Just, you know, you're talking like Hashem hasn't wanted to save us or hasn't attempted to be there for. Hashem says, I spread out my hand to you every single day. And you know what I get? Hell, you turn your back on me. Hell, I'm sorer. People that just, you know, imagine if you went to say hello to somebody and you give forth your hand and they like walk away. That's like the ultimate insult, you know, you turn away. So I'm sorer. Holchem aderech lo tov. And you know where the people are going? They're going on a path that's not good. It's probably much worse than not good, but that's at the very least, it's not a good path. Acha machshavos seichem. They follow their thoughts. And there's the idea that people have all kinds of temptations and all kinds of things. And there are a lot of things that a person thinks about they should never do. They should just be thoughts. But a lot of people, they follow their thoughts. They go after their thoughts. Ha'am mekatsin osi al panei tamid. These people, they slap me in the face all the time. They get me angry. What do they do? So he's describing the people at the time of the destruction who worshipped idols. But we shouldn't make a mistake. In other words, we no longer have the sin of idolatry, but it's been replaced with other things. In other words, so a lot of the criticism was, how dare the people worship other gods? We have people that worship other things. Some people worship money. Well, that's the only thing important to them. There are other people that worship their ego. That's also a kind of idolatry. You know, they're the only one they see in their life is themselves. That's idolatry. That's a strange god. The only thing that's scary is when the second temple was built, there was a call to go back, and not everybody answered the call. And the people that didn't answer the call kind of lost out. All of us today are descended from the people that there's really a small percentage of people that came back, that answered the call. But they had prophets. They had people that spoke in the name of Hashem, said, time to come back, time to come home, you know. Today we don't know. We see the beginning. We see that Israel is being resettled. The only question, though, is there's just so many other factors. There's a factor whether a person, some people, they feel that, you know, obviously to go to Israel, you have to be able to have a livelihood. And you have to have family considerations. You can't leave certain family members behind. And then the other question is if a person is up to starting over again. Some people find that they just, they're so used to the way things are in our country that when they go there, there are too many things that bother them. In other words, you know, if you're used to being an American and you have to get used to being an Israeli, so if you have too many things that bother you, you can't be spiritual. It's almost like if you're sitting in the shul and it's too cold or it's too hot, you can't pray because I'm too hot, I'm too cold, I'm not comfortable. You have to be. So the only question is which things are real and which things are excuses. So that's, we never know. That would make our job easy if we knew for sure what was. But there are mostly legitimate reasons that we don't know for sure that Hashem is giving us a hand to come back to the land of Israel. But we know that Hashem reaches out to us in our life. He gives us a hand. In other words, that He's directing us. We just don't know. You can't always predict what. Always know what the next step is. We kind of find that with Avraham had a nephew Lot, and Avraham was promised the land of Israel, and his nephew Lot was acting like he owned the place already, and it wasn't time yet. In other words, he was allowing his animals to graze on the pastures and like it was his land already. I said, wait a second, it wasn't yet given to us. You can't act like the Mashiach is here if he's not here. There's no question. So the question, and that's a very real question. In other words, let's say there are non-Jewish people that have been living here for years, Arabs and stuff. Is it appropriate to kick them out? What gives us the right to to say what, you know, what we can do and how we can restrict them. Is that the right thing to do? Is that what Hashem wants us to do? It's certainly not clear. Like you said, like we can't force but the only thing is, those were mostly questions to the initial people that were in Israel in 48 and 67. Today, it's not so much a question of forcing it, it's just a question of what does Hashem want from us? You know, where can we serve Him best? That's what we should be asking Him, like where, that's a question we should always, where is it that we can serve Him, you know, where are we best suited to serve Him, if we're best suited here, or would we be better suited in Israel? If Israel would be a better place, we should hop on the next plane. But it's not an easy answer because, like I said, if a person has, we have relatives and we have family and we also have issues of support, and then we also have issues that if we really, if you're uncomfortable in the synagogue, you can't pray there. And so if you're uncomfortable living in the land of Israel, so you say, well, get comfortable. There are many people to their credit have tried it, and when it doesn't work, they come back if it doesn't work. But it's not an automatic that it works for everyone. But a person at some point should always ask themselves, is there a better place for me to grow spiritually? Is there a better, you know, is there a certain, is that the land of Israel? Or maybe that's in a certain community? Where would that place be? Here we're really talking to Hashem's, and this idea that Hashem reaches out to us and we turn away is a common thing. But also that people worship other gods. They're really not seeking out Hashem, they're seeking out other things. But whatever those other things are, superficial things, money. People, they anger me all the time. Zofkin begana, they make sacrifices on their gardens, on their rooftops, and mekachim al levenim, and they offer incense. There are all kinds of strange ideals that people pay homage to. Hayoshim bekvarim, they sit in the cemeteries. Thank God we don't do that, or we hope we don't do that. But sometimes, you know, graves mean like old ideas. They don't die quickly. You know, there's sometimes old discredited ideas people are still following in their ways. The people go in the cemetery they're eating pork. They're eating they're eating the meat of the pig, pork segulin. And pigle is very interesting. The English doesn't really there's a whole chapter when a person brings an offering about having not doing it according to the way he's supposed to do it. And the Hebrew word is called pigle. It sounds like a pig, which is interesting. But pigle means a person who's deliberately sabotages an offering. Like he wants to do it his way, not in the way in which Hashem wants it. That's the challenge with a lot of religions, is that many people, they want a man-made religion. They want to dictate the way they want their religion to be. You know, we like our religion to be XYZ, so we took a vote and that's the way it should be. Why? Because not what does Hashem want it to be. How is Hashem communicated to us? He wants us to serve Him. But no, we're going to pray where we can define how it should be. That's like a foreign thought. That's this kind of word, this pigulim. It's like foreign, strange. You know, some people, the more strange, that's the more it appeals to them. Like who would go to a grave or a cemetery? It's almost like, in those days where foods, they were very careful not to. Judaism was always careful not to keep food away from dead things, from carcasses, from dead people, way before they knew about germs and other. You know, the Gentiles, they would keep people unburied for weeks, and they had human sex, and all kinds of germs and diseases that were spreading, and they, but the people, like, they went out of their way, like, to do these bizarre kinds of things with, it's interesting. Our people, you know, Jewish people also sometimes can be very bizarre. Like, it's not like, all right, you're not ultra-Orthodox, or you're not just Orthodox. You have people that will go to the opposite extreme, you know, that will do the most bizarre thing you can imagine. And that's always been, that's part of free will, but, you know, that's what Hashem is kind of saying over here. Like, you know, that the people, it's not that they didn't call my name. They didn't call my name. They're sitting in the cemeteries and they're eating pigs and they're thinking all kinds of things.
I thought that Pingel had to do specifically with a delay in eating the sacrifice.
Well, it's either I'll eat it when I want to eat it, or I'm not going to follow the regulation. In other words, I'm supposed to eat it in one day. If I don't eat it today, I'll eat it tomorrow. I'll eat it the next day. I'm in no rush. Or basically the person is going against the rules. He's doing the offering, but he's doing it his way rather than Hashem's way. Really, like, the whole conservative and reform is the idea that we can fashion our Judaism in a way that suits us. And one of the challenges of Orthodoxy is we really we're stuck with things. We don't understand everything, and we try to make it in a way that we understand it. But there are things that we don't understand everything. This is what Hashem says. You know, we do it because we follow in the mitzvahs, and we're very much aware that we won't understand everything. In fact, this week's is a special Shabbos called Parshas Parah, and it comes before Pesach. And Parah is really an acknowledgement that we won't understand everything. That's the Parah had, the Paraduma was like a mysterious thing that some people it made impure and some people it made pure, and there was like no logic to it. Like we couldn't, but there needs to be a certain devotion where a person says, look, I've come to see Hashem, and so I'm aware that I'm not going to understand. Even Moshe Rabbeinu thought he could understand it all. And Hashem said, as long as you're alive, you're not going to understand every... You know, we're human. We're not... Well, partially because when people make up things and they create their religion in their own image, and so of course people are confused because it's whatever you want it to be. Whereas if you follow the divine, it's, well, we have a set of rules. This is how we do it. This, you know, this... We see Hashem, Hashem has to earn our trust from the things that we do see for the things that we don't see. Mm-hmm. We all come to times when, you know, there was a terrible tragedy last week, you know, a young mother passed away with orphans, and Nobody can explain that. Nobody would understand why does Hashem do that, and how do people have to suffer, and there are people that, have terrible sicknesses, and we can't understand that, but we've come to trust Hashem. We've come to learn that He runs the world, not us, and that there are things that are beyond our comprehension. But once we start playing with the rules, so play with everything. You know, how do you know what to do? But here Hashem is complaining that people will do the most bizarre things. Part of the common culture, if you look at it, where people are putting holes in themselves, you know, and they paint their hair funny colors, That has to do with bizarre. In other words, the more bizarre, in other words, they want to, like, buck, they want to go against whatever people thought was normal. They want to look hideous. They want to put holes in their lips and their noses and other, they want to dress. And there is, it's okay to, we also reject what our society says is good. There are a lot of things our society says is good that we want to run the other way, you know, that we want to, you know, that, but, the fact that they see things in life they don't want and therefore they want to do, but there, on the other hand, there are good things and people have this desire to be as strange and as different as possible. It's like it's a type of idolatry is what he's saying here. There was somebody that wants to just do the most bizarre, the most different types of things. Verse 5. Amim karvelecha, people, you know what they say? They say, they say to people that are next to them, don't touch me, because I'm holier than you. You know, I'm greater than you. I know better than you. Eila ashem ba'api, there's smoke in my nostrils. Eish yokedes kol hayom, there's like a fire burning all day long. This, I guess we'll stop here, because I don't remember going that far ahead. So, but what we're looking, I think, another 2 weeks we should be finished. Mitz Hashem, I have to think about a siyum already, like in probably the week before Pesach.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.